And my sobriety date is October the 5th, 1978. For those of you who are new, my date count is 17,476. I just thought I'd say that because I can. Sounds impressive, doesn't it? I can't believe it myself, to be honest with you, really. I got sober when I was 23 and I'm 71 years old. I did not stay sober when I came to AA the first time. I went in and out many times. I kept going in and out with these old ideas that if I had enough money or the right job or a good place to stay or a good woman in my life or an education, I'd be fine. And all those stories did nothing but hurt me because none of that was ever true. I was an alcoholic and I didn't understand alcoholism. It was a lot easier to tell my story when I was 2 years sober or 5 years sober. This is what it was, what happened, what I used to be like, what happened, what I'm like now. But what do you want to do? Talk about year 45? How about year 36? How about 29? You see what I'm saying? So I got to be a little bit particular about what I want to talk about. So I believe I'm an alcoholic, not so much by how much I drank, but by what it did for me. My wife is a non-alcoholic. She's a member of Al-Anon, been a member of Al-Anon since 85. And I've been to some of her parties with her friends, and they drink different than I do. They'll drink and they'll get a little hot. They go, "Oh no, that's enough. I'm starting to get hot now." And I think, "Wow, that's kind of weird." Or, "I'm starting to get dizzy. That's enough. I'm driving. I don't want any more." And I don't have that type of experience at all. When I drink, it changes the way I see the world without changing the world at all. And it doesn't do for that for those non-alcoholics. I remember I was 13 years old in 1967. I was invited to a party, and these people were 17 and 18. They appeared to be grown-ups to me. And I walked in there unsure of myself, not knowing what to expect. And they were all smoking pot. It was 1967. This girl's brother sent it home from Vietnam. So that's the first pot I smoked in 67. And they gave me a bottle of Valley High wine. And it was just the most wonderful experience I'd ever had in my life. When I walked out of there, I felt 17 and 18, and I knew they were glad that I came to their party. It changed the way I saw the world without changing the world at all. I'm an alcoholic. It does not do that to non-alcoholics. And I didn't know that. I thought that did that for everybody. So I came from a pretty wild background. I don't really have time to go into it, but I don't really think it has much to do with it, really. My mother was an alcoholic and a schizophrenic. My father was a depressive and an alcoholic, pretty much neglected his family because of alcoholism. All our relatives have alcoholism and some type of mental illness, but nothing hurt me more than my own drinking did. My own drinking distorted my views on life. It changed my emotional well-being. It changed how I saw myself, and it changed how I saw the world. And I didn't know that. All I know is I felt great. It was a great time to grow up in the 60s. Everything was happening. They were going to the moon. People were getting assassinated. There were college campus riots all over the country. I was just a kid looking for a place to fit in. And booze really worked for me. It worked really well. And I didn't know what was going to happen to me. I had a promising future. I was offered a free college education, maybe a possible appointment in a military position in the military. And I drank my way out of all of it, thinking I chose alcohol over those things. And the truth was, I never chose any of it. Alcohol made those choices for me. I'm an alcoholic. I end up running away from home at 16 years old, end up going to the Navy at 17, out of the Navy at 19. End up on Skid Row by the time I was 21 years old. Alcohol hit me fast and hard, and I didn't know that's what it was. All I know is there was a lot of people screaming at me. They were always complaining. I never could figure out what the hell they were so upset about. And I couldn't see my drinking was causing so much strain on the people that I loved and the people that were around me. I just couldn't see it. My mother finally kicked me and my brother out, and I end up on Skid Row at 21. I end up in a sleeping room, and I had a mattress on the floor for a bed and a cardboard box turned upside down for an end table. I had a light that hung from a wire on the ceiling, and I couldn't see what was wrong, really. I thought, well, I'm just in between jobs right now. I don't know what the hell everybody's complaining about. And I was down there a couple of months. I'd been out of work, and there was a phone booth across the street. This will date me. I went across the street to call somebody, and I dropped a dime in the phone. And I heard this dial tone, and I kept listening to the dial tone. And I'm half drunk on Wild Irish Rose, and it finally hit me. I don't have anybody to call, so I hung up and I got my dime out and I walked away. Sometimes powerless over alcohol, life unmanageable, sounds like a dial tone, but it doesn't look like alcohol. And then that same year, I was in a car wreck, and in the back seat, it almost broke my legs. And I went to a hospital, and they gave me these big caps of codeine, and I went back to my sleeping room on Skid Row and drank about a half a bottle of whiskey and dropped a couple of those codeine, and that was on December 24th. And I woke up on what I thought was Christmas Day, and I'm walking down the street, and there was this kid. He was 8 or 9 years old. I said, "Merry Christmas, kid." He said, "That was yesterday, mister." And I thought, this kid's messing with me. I walked to a newsstand, and the newsstand said December 26th, 1976. And I thought, man, oh well, maybe next year. Sometimes powerless over alcohol, life unmanageable, just looks like you miss Christmas, but it doesn't look like alcohol. In the following month in 1977, I was 22 years old, and the winter was 25 below, wind chill 70 below. The Ohio River froze that year. And somebody had dropped me off downtown. I don't remember how I got there. And I had to walk across the river over the bridge up to 15th and Scott. And I had 30 cents, but the buses weren't running. Sometimes powerless over alcohol, life unmanageable. This looks like you missed the bus, but it doesn't look like alcohol. And that's the baffling feature for alcoholism for me. Everybody knew I had a problem but me. It couldn't be me. It was because the Navy put me in the bottom of a ship in a boiler room. If I'd have had a job as a yeoman in an office, I'd be a 20-year career man. It's the girlfriend that dumped me. It's because I had a GED. I never finished high school. It's the mother that kicked me out. She joined Alcoholics Anonymous. Our whole family fell apart. But it's not me. It can't be alcohol. Alcohol's always been my friend. It always made the world look better. And what I didn't know is the thing that was making it look better was tearing my life apart, and I couldn't see it. I came to AA on the first time I was 22 years old, October or April the 10th, 1977. I had gone to AA because I knew my mother went there, and that's how I knew about Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm sitting in the front row, and I have my hair's out to here. I hadn't had a haircut in a while. I had bib overalls on, no shirt, no underwear, no socks, and a pair of old worn out earth shoes. And I'm sitting next to this guy. He was old. He was 50. And the sclera, the white part of his eye, had grown over his iris. I said, "What happened to your eye?" I said, "My wife was so upset with 20 years of drinking. She waited for me to pass out and she poured sulfuric acid in my eye." And I went, "Man, what have I got myself into here?" And I looked up on the wall. I said, "What's that mean? Powerless over alcohol, life unmanageable. Now I have no shirt, no underwear, no job, and no car. And I'm asking him what unmanageable means." This guy's probably looking at me going, "I might have one eye, but at least I have underwear." And the woman next to him was a self-proclaimed psychic. And I'm thinking, this is getting better by the minute. And the guy that gave the talk is the reason why I'm your speaker today. He talked about getting a sponsor. Don had been in maximum security prison for 5 years. His nose was off to the side. It was broke. And Don talked about getting a sponsor. And I got a sponsor that day. I thought, well, I might not have underwear, but I'm going to get one of these sponsors, whatever they are. And Don was sober 38 years. He knew what the book said. He knew the importance of going to meetings. He knew what we do to stay sober. He got mad at someone or a group of people and said, "Screw you. I'm not coming back to your meetings anymore." And you know what? He didn't. 3 months later, he was drunk and he was dead after 38 years. Self-knowledge doesn't mean anything, and neither does time. And that's why I told you I had 17,476 days. Because if I'm not doing what I need to maintain my spiritual condition, that's just a story. It doesn't mean anything. And Don died, and he proved that to me. And that's why when somebody said, "You want to talk on this Zoom?" And he go, "Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it." So I went in and out of A maybe 20, 30 times with these old ideas, like I told you I had. And I came back on October 5th of 1978. I didn't know that that was going to be my sobriety date. I was tired of hearing your promises. I knew all about the fifth chapter. I know all that crap. It doesn't work. I go in and out of AA. It works for you. You're lucky. I'm not lucky. I'm a loser in AA. And no, I don't want to go out and eat with you after the meeting or have coffee with you. I don't even like you. I mean, that's where my brain was. I was hostile. I was defiant. I was irrational. But I remember what my sponsor said in the car after that meeting that day. I was in bad shape. I was shaking. I smelled funny. I looked funny. And he said, "I want to thank you. You helped save my life this past year." And I'm thinking, I don't want to listen to this crap. Man, what, you know? I said, "Really, Mike, how'd I help you?" And he said, "Well, I made a deal with God. My mom had leukemia. And I said, I told God, you save my mother, I'll stay sober. She dies, screw you. Screw my sponsor, my home group A, I'm out of here." And he said, "Joe, she died. But I watched you coming back in off these drunks and the shape you were in." He thought, "Man, that's the last thing I need in my life right now. Thanks. You really teach me a lot." And in my mind, I thought, this guy's hustling me. He's using me. He's telling me I saved his life, but I'm thinking he's using me. And I said, "You son of a bitch, I'm not teaching you anymore." And I thought, "I'm going to do everything you do," because I knew it wasn't going to work. "I'm going to read that dumb book that doesn't have a picture in it. I'm going to go to the same meetings you go to. I'm going to tell the same dumb jokes you tell night after night." And when it doesn't work, like everything I've tried up till now, I can say, who's helping who? And I've been sober ever since that day by taking the action that other sober members take to get in contact with the power to solve their problem. And I didn't know that's what I was doing. I'm a perfect example. You do not have to understand AA. You do not have to understand the book. You do not have to understand any of it. But you got to be willing to follow it. You got to be willing just to try to take the action. And that's what I did. And I just out of spite, I wrote an inventory at 30 days and I went on with the rest of the steps to prove it wouldn't work because I knew it wouldn't. And I had an awakening that changed my life. And it's not the only awakening I've had in all those years, but it was the first experience I had that I was going to be okay, that life was going to be okay. It doesn't matter how it turns out. It doesn't matter how long I'm sober. I'm going to be okay. Matter of fact, I am okay. And I went to my sponsor. I thought, have I lost my mind? I was at a store the other day. There was a freezer with beer, and then there was a stack of tuna. I didn't want either one of them. Have I lost my mind? I said, my mind's empty. There's something wrong. He said, that's peace of mind, Joe. You're going to have to get used to that. That's what the 12 steps do. They remove the obsession and render the sufferer happy, whole, and useful. What do you want to do, man? You're free. I says, I am. He said, you can do anything you want as long as you put A first and be an active member of A. You think you can do that? I said, well, I've done it for 2 months. He said, that's okay because it's always just a day anyway. And that conversation has led to a life that seems like an adventure novel to me. If you would have told me how my life was going to turn out as a result of taking action that made no sense to me at all, I wouldn't have believed you anyway. I became a pilot. I've traveled the world. I've paddled the Amazon. I'm a homeowner. I've had two kids. I'm a grandfather. I mean, how do you go with somebody with no underwear, no job, and no shirt to live in a life where you know you're going to be okay and travel in the world like you own it? I can't. That is an amazing thing. It's like, I can't get it all into 20 minutes. There's just no way I can do it. But I want to tell you this. I didn't know that the condition I was in, I did not choose. And I want to read this. I don't know how much time I have left, but it's a part in the fifth chapter. And this was the condition I was in before I took the steps. Selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our trouble. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us seemingly without provocation, But we invariably found that at some time in the past, we have made a decision based on self, which later placed in a position to be hurt. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. Above else, we alcoholics must be rid of the selfish we must or it kills us. And this is what I like. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness must by wishing on our own power. We couldn't come up with a new philosophy like, just be good. Just go out and hold doors open for old ladies. Stop lying. Quit stealing. Just be good. That
Four
doesn't
minutes and
work.
40 seconds.
How much?
4 minutes and 40 seconds.
Oh, I've
38.
got it made. There, I could be good and want to be moral and do all those things, but my problem was not morality. And I didn't know that. I felt bad. That's why I wanted to be good and do good things to try to atone for how bad I felt. I had no power to overcome being selfish, dishonest, resentful, and afraid. Yeah, I didn't choose to be delusional. I didn't choose to be selfish or afraid. That's the condition that alcohol left me in when I was not drinking, and I couldn't wish it away. And I was lucky enough to be crazy enough to go, I'll show you. I'll take these steps. This crap doesn't work. And I tapped into a power, and that power changed me. The old self, or these beatitudes we talk about, I was prey to my emotions. I couldn't hold a job. I seemed to be of no use to other people. And all of a sudden, I had this new self because I've tapped into this power. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and economic insecurity. In other words, a feeling of well-being. That's the new self I want to stay in touch with. That's the world of the spirit they talk about, the fourth dimension. And it was on the inside the whole time, and I didn't know it. The steps got all those lies and crap out of the way that I thought about myself and introduced me to a part of me that I did not know was there. And that's the beautiful thing about AA. It's not about time. It's about power or no power. No power, the world looks black and white. It's a lonely, cold, colorless place to live. With power, I think I'm okay. A matter of fact, I feel mischievous. I feel like I want to try to get into something and then go join my life because I don't have the drink problem anymore. It was removed without any thought or effort on my part. It just came. And that's how I've been able to staying in good, fit spiritual condition most of the time since 1978. And that's why I'm your speaker today. I want people who are new to know there's a way out. You don't have to feel the way you feel the rest of your life if you don't want to. We have found a way to tap into a power that's going to make you appreciate who you are and want your life. Even if it looks bad right now, it's not the way you think it is. So that's all I've got. Thank you.
Wow, what a fantastic.